This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
So, good morning.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Christopher Graves, and I am interviewing
Ariadna Videra.
And in location, I'm in the Bronx. I don't know where you at, but
I'm in the Bronx as well.
All right, so he also BX gotta represent. Okay. Today is January 25th, 2021. And do you give me permission to record and distribute this oral history?
Yes, I do.
All right, okay. All right, so can you tell me what is like your full name and age and like the stuff that you do on like the outside world?
Okay, so my name is Ariadna Videra. I'm 20 years old. I'm currently going to Lehman. I'm studying, my major is psychology, my minor is art. I'm trying to be an art therapist. And on my free time, I have a small business where I do like resin ashtrays, and I also do like earrings as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you identify as in terms of like race and gender? Identity.
That's fine. I'm Hispanic. I identify as a female. Yeah.
I see less. Since you said that you was since you said that you are in the Bronx, was you born in the Bronx or did you like move somewhere else?
I was born and raised here.
Sir.
Period.
All right, so the questions that I'm gonna ask you now is about COVID-19. So my first question is, how has the coronavirus changed your life?
Honestly, just having remote classes, it changed my life because it's harder to keep, you know, the concentration and the flow going when it comes to school, because I'm more of a visual learner.
Yeah.
And like a teacher, like, you know, telling me step by step on how to do things so I could do it correctly. But through Zoom calls and like Blackboard, it's honestly complete shit. I hate
same.
It.
Same. Same.
I hate it so much. Yo. Oh my god.
I feel you. Second question. What was it like to be home so often? So
honestly, it was depriving. Like, it didn't feel like I didn't feel like myself. Like I got into like a depressive state where it's like, you know, I just, I felt locked in.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't.
Yeah. And then like,
it wasn't good.
Keep going on and on. And then you just forget.
You kind of lose track of like the days as well. And then like nothing really matters.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Now you good. I feel the same way. Just like the sleeping schedule was all messed up.
For real. I'd be waking up at like 1. That's bad. It's not healthy.
We could talk about that later. All right. So number 3, how did it impact you mentally and emotionally? I mean, that kind of goes the same thing.
Depressing.
Yeah. How did it impact your family?
My family wise, it impacted us a lot because, you know, a lot of the time my dad had to like miss a good portion of work because of the lockdowns.
Yeah.
And my mom, she was struggling to get like, you know, jobs and stuff like that. And like the interviews where they were more difficult to get into because everyone, you know, was getting unemployed. Everyone was trying to find a job. that, you know, they could do during the pandemic. I had a couple close family members pass away. I'm not really close with them like that, but you know, it did hurt my family for the most part, and I saw like the grieving.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry about that.
It's okay, thank you.
So are your parents in your household working right now?
Yes, they are.
Okay, good. So the seventh question, what have you learned about yourself and about your family since the beginning of the whole COVID stuff?
I've learned, Andrea, can you stop? Sorry, my sister is being annoying. So I've learned that, you know, like even through tough times, there's ways to kind of motivate yourself. And I saw that from my parents, especially because they were like, they didn't like to be complicit, like, you know, stay home all the time. They wanted to do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like I learned that I had to do something extra with my life, even if we're all locked in.
Mm. Yeah. What? Sorry. There was some noise that's going on. That's like,
it's okay.
Aggravating me. Number eight, what has been the hardest part of this pandemic for you?
The hardest part is not being able to see a lot of my family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and just like, you know, trying to get with each other like we usually would do.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually go out all the time, so it was way different.
Especially with this cold weather, like you don't see me going out anymore.
Yeah, facts.
Bad break.
Next question. Has there been anything positive to come out of the pandemic for you? If you don't have none, I mean, it's fine.
Honestly, like, it's just like zigzags. Like there's some good things and then it just like there's some bad things as well, like pros and cons.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I don't really know. It's a gray spot.
So next question, what do you think the nation and the world should learn from this pandemic?
Honestly, to be smarter when it comes to, you know, protecting yourself, because yeah. Even though, like, you know, we were not on the wave right away when it came to like protecting ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so it took time and people were arrogant when it came to like, you know, putting the mask on, the precautions. I feel like just following the rules.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So next is about the Black Lives Matter protests. So, my question is, can you explain to me why you think these anti-racist protests erupted?
Honestly, with all that's been going on around in the news and like what you see in social media, people started, you know, they started paying more attention, especially with the pandemic, it being like, you know, all of us locked in, having nothing really to be motivated to do or like proactive.
Yeah.
There was something in us that it just like we had to do something to change it, and especially if, you know, everyone was home, I just feel like everyone was paying more attention if that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all wanted to be more active in something that we believed in, and yeah.
Next, why do you think New York City became an epic center of the protests?
I feel like it's because we're mainly a Democrat, like, city.
Mm.
And even though, like, you know, the whole New York State wasn't really on that topic and there were mainly Republicans, like, we're mainly Democrats over here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see the injustice when it comes to NYPD, like, all the time.
Mm.
So it kind of hit home, you know, especially of being, like, a majority of, like, Latino and Black communities. Like, we all basically came together, and there was a lot of, of white people, you know, coming together as well, because they, you know, they didn't want to stay quiet either. Yeah. They can't.
Yeah. All right, so the third question is, how I can't talk. How have the uprisings across the country shifted, and how do you think about your ethnic identity and your place in U.S. society?
So, because Latina, like, there's a lot that goes on when it comes to Latinos and everything, when it comes to, like, immigration and all that stuff. But then, you know, being in the Bronx, you kind of see more of, like, other ethnic groups being targeted as well. Yeah. It's not just us. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like when it comes to my place in, like, participating in this movement, it's more so having another voice trying to be heard, because I feel like, you know, they can't just ignore everyone. Yeah. I don't know what the first part of the question was. I lowkey forgot.
The first part of the question was, how have the uprisings across the country shifted? I'm guessing about, is asking how the Black Lives Matter protests shifted,
throughout the years,
but like the U.S. Especially now, people see, like, the Black Lives Matter protests.
So you could tell who was on one side and who was on the other. Like, it was really clear. Especially when it came to family members as well, you could tell. Because, you know, me, I have an uncle in the, you know, he was a cop, he was a sergeant, for, like, the NYPD a few years back, and it was for a long time. Mm-hmm. But when I started putting my opinions out there, you know, they started coming back with, oh, they're just trying to protect themselves. How are they trying to protect themselves? Like, you have a whole, like, your whole identity is protecting you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. But I feel like you could just tell a lot who was on which side and who was on the other.
Yeah,
pretty much. It kind of, like, separated a lot of us when it came to family and friends as well.
Yeah. My, if I was to answer this question to...
Answer it.
Uh-huh.
Answer. I need to know, because I know a lot of people have been switching up.
Nah, I just just a short story. I had this aunt that I was kind of close with, and she was basically telling me that like Trump isn't like a bad person and stuff like that. And I when it came to this election, I was pretty like 50-50. Like, I didn't want to vote, but like I had to vote just to get Trump out of the office. Basically, for the most part, me and my aunt was just going back and forth, and she was just coming at me for my unbeliefs and how I feel scared to go outside because of the cops. Especially that I am like a Black African Hispanic man, and she basically came at me for being scared to go outside because of the cops and everything. So it was just a lot that me and her just went like back and forth, and now I don't really talk to her, so. But for the most part, she was just on the side of like, Trump, like, they didn't do like anything bad. Like, it's like, you just got the social media thinking that you're thinking one way than the other. I was like, okay, you got it. Whatever you think.
Nah, I felt that, because like, even though I love my grandma, like, I love my grandma so much. She told me, she was like, don't get into politics. I'm like, why not? And she was like, it's gonna get you in trouble. I'm like, grandma, who did you vote for? She was like, none of your business. I'm like, well, now I know. It was Trump who you voted for.
You know what's funny? Because my grandma, she actually said that she voted for Trump because her reasoning was that she feels bad for him because he's, well, because he's old and that he's about to die. So I didn't know how to put that. So I was like, okay.
Ma'am?
I was like, okay. Like, I mean, I'm not going to have an argument with with an 80-year-old. So I'm not going to do that to myself.
No, I felt that, though, because, like, when it came to Trump, like, it was mainly, like, the older people that they just weren't getting it into their heads. Like, my aunt, she... I think I was like wearing something and she kind of like came at me for it. And she's like, you can't, you know, dislike people because of their political beliefs. And I was like, I mean, their political beliefs kind of dictate on how they think.
Yeah, pretty much.
So when she was telling me like, oh, Trump is good for the economy, this and that, I'm like, sis, you just hopping on the bandwagon. Like, no, he's not. Like, have you seen what he's done? And like the amount of debt he's in and like that he does not pay taxes. Like, I don't know where you're getting your information from.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was bad. And also my neighbor, she said, I'm gonna vote for him. And I'm like, sis, why? And she was like, oh, because he gave us a stimulus check. I'm like, no, he put his name on money that the government needs to give us. It's not his money. Yeah. Just because his little name is there does not mean shit.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely forgot about all these questions. So do you have any stories you are willing to share about the encounters? All right. So do you have any stories that you are willing to share about the encounters that you have had with racism or police?
Not necessarily. Well, honestly, not really, because, you know, of how I look. Like, yeah. I'm a white Latina, basically. And I have the privilege of just being the skin color that I am.
Yeah.
But the only time that I got, like, attacked by one was when they thought that I hopped on the train station. Because they heard the door. And they literally stopped me. I was like, sir, like, you not see my card in my hand? Like, come on now. I'm just trying to get home. But that's basically it.
So were you active in the protest at all in a digital or in person way over the last 6 months?
I went to like 4 protests. It was bad. Like, you know, even though like I was trying to stay as peaceful as I could, like it was bad. It was like a mixture of emotions.
Yeah.
Like, I caught myself, like, crying so many times. I was just like, yo, this is too much. But, you know, it has to be done. I saw this one white lady. We were walking through Central Park. And she had the nerve to say some shit like, oh, like, you know, all lives matter. And then, you know, how you have the guts to be doing that when everyone is literally, like, you know, protesting. Yeah. Like, it's hundreds of people. You really have the nerve. So they like ganged up on her and were like, don't talk about that shit that over here, this and that. Yeah. I was just like, oof.
Eesh.
But yeah. It happened a lot.
Mm. All right. So how have protests in the context of the coronavirus shifted the way that you think race in America?
It shifted it. I feel like it's a gray spot when it comes to the protests, mainly because there's cops that are like all ethnic backgrounds.
Yeah.
So like you kind of see yourself like kind of like seeing them eye to eye and just like saying like, damn, you're really on their side. Like, you know how fucked up the system is, but you still continue to like.
Yeah, to like be in it. More.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you kind of have yourself in like a gray area to like really like come at them.
Mm.
Because of where they're from, but it's also mentality, I think.
Mm.
Wait, what was the question? Honestly, my brain is not on correctly today.
Look, same. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna go to the next question.
Okay, good.
How have the past few months changed how you think about the police and racism in the U.S.? And did you learn more about the history of racism in this country since the protests started?
I feel like repeat that again. Yeah, I feel so bad, bro.
No, you're good. How has the past few months changed in how you think of about the police and the racism in the US?
Oh, okay. So my whole opinion when it comes to the police, I thought they were pretty good in the beginning, you know, when I was younger, because of the relations I had with my uncles, you know, they were cops.
Yeah.
But then I started getting older and I started realizing more they're not trained to do what they're supposed to do, especially when it comes to all the people, especially in New York. Like, there's people with mental issues. They're not equipped for that.
Yeah.
So it's I see that their first intake is to attack and not really kind of talk properly or kind of approach the situation correctly unless they're white. So I kind of don't like them. I don't like them.
Me and you both.
Don't like them. No, me not.
What have you seen in your, what have you seen your peers doing that inspires you?
My peers? I see a lot of them, throughout the protests or pandemic?
About the protests.
A lot of them, there was a good handful of people that came with me to a few of the protests that were my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw they felt passionate about the topic as well. So I feel like just the inspiration that they had inspired me throughout everything. Yeah.
It's asking, what do you think about the cops' response to protests that began in May 2020?
That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Honestly,
if you don't remember,
I think I do remember. It was bad. it was just plain bad. They didn't know how to react when it came to, Black communities and all this diverse community of the Black Lives Matter movement. They did not know how to react. They reacted in the most violent way possible. However, I think when there's white people freaking protesting in I think it was a while back. You remember when they started protesting that they want to open the cities again?
Yeah.
And they were in front with their rifles.
Yeah. Oh yes. That shit was
bro, that took me off completely. I was really? you're not gonna attack the people that have guns, but you're gonna attack people that are literally going this, hands up, don't shoot.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I kind of just want to skip to the stuff that happened at the Capitol. Pretty much, because everything is just your response to the whole stuff that happened in May, in May 2020. So I'm gonna just ask this. What would you like to see resolved in the movement?
In the movement, honestly, I want to see cops getting more time in training.
Yeah.
And going to school for it as well, because it's not just people out here. There's people with like a bunch of things going on at home, mentally, physically. So I feel like they need more training. I feel like the laws when it comes to the, what is it called? You know where they like search you? Like in random ass places?
Yeah.
Like that, what is it called?
I know what you're talking about, but I forgot the name.
But yeah, like that, I feel like they need to stop racially profiling.
Yeah.
Other things like, I don't know, they just have to change a lot of things.
Yeah.
When it comes to racially profiling.
Yeah, I actually got racially profiled a while ago, but we'll talk about that after this.
Okay.
So for 2021 with the whole Capitol stuff, what do you think led these people to attempt to violently overthrow the government?
Because yo, this is that funny. Because they couldn't handle the truth that Biden had won.
Yeah.
They couldn't handle the truth that, you know, white supremacy was getting out of, you know, the higher estate when it comes to power.
Mm.
They felt like, you know, their voices of racism was not going to be heard anymore.
Mm.
And like, it was just going to be shut down. So I feel like they were sad, angry, because they know they're not going to be able to deal with this shit anymore. They're not gonna, yeah, I just, yeah.
So were you surprised how they were treated by the police?
Honestly, no. I knew they weren't gonna get attacked. Mm. I know there was like one lady that died, and
yeah,
you know, Kina Manda, like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, okay. Oops. Well, see, like, that's the one out of like that, like,
right?
Yes, like for me, I like nobody should die, but at the same time, given the circumstances of the past two years, I out of the many African Americans and like the Mexicans and then like the Spanish people that have died from police versus one that got killed in that day, like it's just like for us, we just like, yeah, that's nothing
compared to what y'all put us through.
But yeah, like, yes, it's sad that she died, but at the same time, given the circumstances, it's like, yeah, like nobody really cares about her. Because you raided the stuff. You raided the freaking Capitol. That's already
compared to us being in the public streets. They raided a like
big ass Capitol.
A Capitol. Like, if we did that, everyone's dead.
Yeah, exactly. On site. Exactly.
And they let them in too. There was videos of them literally opening the freaking gate. Yeah, like they opened up the
gate and they're like. Yeah, like, come on.
It's because the ops off their shift, they were doing that too. They were there off their shift. Get the hell out. Like,
so this is a long question. I'm gonna just see if you can try to remember the
concentrate
this long ass stuff. All right, so and it goes back to the last question. There have been reports that members of the group that stormed the U.S. Capitol, including police officers, elected officials, and members of the U.S. military. What, if anything, should we as a society do with the information that segments of U.S. law enforcement, elected officials, and armed forces try to overthrow U.S. democracy?
God damn.
Trying so hard not to stutter. So I was like, okay, see if I can get this.
Fine. So like, basically to put it all together, you mean like, what's something that because they were involved, right?
Yeah.
In like the whole U.S. Capitol like raiding. What we can fix in order to not to prevent that again?
Hey, yeah. So like, what as we should do as a society, to overthrow the the U.S. democracy.
I feel like just when people aren't, you know, equipped for the type of job that they're given, especially when you're in power, to just like what we did, impeach Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Or try to in the beginning, you know, like try to hold them accountable for the things that they say and do.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, just holding them accountable, because if they do get away with it, then they're obviously going to overthrow a lot. And just ruin everything that this country stands for. Stands for. Quotation marks. Put that in there. God damn.
Speaking of that, what do you think about Trump's response and reaction to the whole, not the protest, the freaking...
Capitol?
Yes, the Capitol. Now, I want to hear this.
He set that shit up. He told them, go and do that. Mm-hmm. He's the one that got the freaking lady killed. Like, that's his fault.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's basically it. Like, he set it up. And then you heard the little speech that he made. It wasn't even a speech. It was a recorded video.
Yeah, like I don't know if it was after. I know that it was during... more like the whole thing was like going on, but I said to Fine Surrey that his video response made it worse. So
like, I love you, go home.
Yeah, go
and
home.
He's like telling everyone like, I know we lost to this fucking guy. Like basically he's just like throwing mad subs.
Exactly.
Fucking child. My God.
He is a big baby. So I got some questions myself that I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
All right. So I got, were you scared, the first time that you, of the first protest that you have gotten to, were you scared of going to that protest?
Yeah, I was kind of scared, but I feel like the time that I was the most scared was when I went like the last time. It was like the fourth time I ever went. The fourth time is when they were doing the curfew.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I was all the way. I don't even know where I was. I was like all the way in like downtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, I saw on like the Citizen app, oh, 8 o'clock is the new curfew. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I live like an hour and a half away. You gonna tell me I have to like, you know, and I live all the way near Fordham. So it's like, it's too much.
Yeah.
So I feel like the most scared was when like the last time when they said that there was going to be like a curfew, because me and my friends, we were trying to get out before, you know, curfew. We don't want to get into trouble. We're just trying to do something like peacefully.
Yeah.
So in order to like follow the rules or whatever, we're here like asking the ops like, yo, can we get out? Like, we're just trying to go to the train station. And it was literally directing us like through a barricade of police guys. Like,
really?
I was like, really? Yeah, because we're like near Chinatown, low-key.
Oh, yeah, that's deep.
Yeah, so... when we were trying to like, they kind of circled us in. That's the thing. They circled us in and we were trying to get through and it was kind of difficult. And, you know, because of our masks, when we're talking to the cops, you know, the cops from like the further side, they think that we're like kind of confronting them.
Mm.
So then it's like a bunch of them just start following us and we're like, bro, I'm just trying to leave. Like, it's not that hard. Just move. But yeah.
I know like I'm the same thing, like another short story with the whole like curfew stuff. There was I was inside the house already, and then I heard like a few noises of like some stuff like outside on my window. And then so I look, there's like 10, I sweat to everything. There was like 10 like armed, like heavily armed dudes with like ARs roaming around the park. While like that was like right next to me. Like, and I think I recorded it. I don't know if I saved it or not, but I definitely recorded it. If I find it, I'll show it to you. But that shit was like crazy.
That's crazy.
My next question is, have you ever encountered a Trump supporter and or a racist, and what did they say to you, and what was your response if they did?
Yo, so there was this one time, I think I was just walking. I don't know where the hell I was going, but it was like they were saying some like ignorant shit. And I was like, yo, shut the fuck up, because no one cares about you and you're here in everyone else's business, like destroying everyone else's peace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just started cursing at them. And I wasn't going to get attacked. I know that because there was people around me. But you never know. A Trumpie with their little guns.
Yeah. Thank God they didn't do nothing to you, because they are a little, a bit crazy.
Yeah, they something else.
My next question is, what was your best and worst moments in like the movements that you have went to?
My best moments in the protests?
Yeah, and
I feel like it was when we all were in like a meeting point for all the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people talking about their experiences. I feel like those are my best like moments, because, you know, we got to hear people. It wasn't just, you know, a march.
Yeah.
It's literally people coming together and sharing their stories on like the shit they went through when it comes to injustice, like police force and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my best. You said my worst, right?
Yeah.
My worst moments, I think I was in Times Square. And I was this close to getting arrested because I was with one of my girlfriends, and I was just going on live, right?
Yeah.
And you know when the thing that they say on like the speakerphone where it's like, oh, you have to get on the sidewalk, this and that, not on the street.
Yeah.
We were all on the sidewalk. Like, you know, we were following rules, even though we were like, you know, just protesting. The thing is that the cops, they end up like getting on the sidewalk and start arresting people, and I'm there in shock, like, oh shit. So they're about to grab me, but then my friend, she like said, let's go. Yeah, it was bad, but you know, I kind of got like stuck there, and I was like, you're just really gonna tell people to do something, but then you're coming at them?
Yeah, that's crazy. This next question is kind of, it's like you kind of answered it earlier, but I still want to see your response. So what do you think should change in our society to make communities better and make New York a safer place?
Honestly, the racial profiling gotta go, because it's like you kind of tick people, and you kind of like, I feel like when it comes to the stop and search, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Like, that's just ticking people off. And I feel like when, like I said, they're not trained to like really help people when it comes to like them being like frustrated or like something mental going on.
Yeah.
They're more so physically like, God, my words are not clear. They're more so like very quick to attack if they see one like off movement.
Yeah, they take this.
But I feel like they just gotta like kind of take into consideration what they're doing when it comes to people's lives and like racially profiling them on an everyday basis as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's crazy? This is really off topic, but it's not on top. It's on topic, but it's off topic to the question. Yeah. So I was watching this video yesterday, and it was a guy getting like pulled over and getting like searched on him, and his car.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the freaking op, he literally was looking through, right? And mm-hmm. then he put something in the freaking trunk. Like you could see it clear in the freaking camera. He yeah. puts it in the trunk.
Yeah. A lot of not like I've seen like some of them like like I start to question like do they know that they are being recorded? Cause like they get caught clear 4K that they are putting like a substance in the car and then saying after. Also, like he got something in like the trunk or like the side of his car, but you literally see his whole hand put some substance in the car and still manage to get the innocent person arrested. So, like it's just stuff like that, and like it's been going on for like a good minute.
And they gotta do background checks on these people. On the who they're yeah, hiring, like they because they don't.
Because I swear, like there could be a whole psychopath, working as the police, and like he could just go on like a whole killing spree, and like as long as he's not on camera, he thinks that it's fine. So
it's crazy though, because they're always caught. They're always caught in the act as well, and their walkie-talkies and everything. Like you know how they have like the basically you could hear them throughout anything.
Yeah.
Especially in the cars as well. Like they have it all in recording.
Yeah.
And there were, I think it was like during the protest, there was this one recording of a policeman basically saying like, "Oh, just shoot them down. Yeah. Like have no remorse on whoever comes to you."
Yeah,
like they were ready to attack. They didn't even have like no compassion or empathy for the people that were, you know, trying to say what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Yeah. All right, so my last question is, if you was to start up your own march, what would it be, and where would it take place? If it's like the Bronx or like New York, Harlem. I said New York, Manhattan, like Harlem, downtownish. Like, what would you think?
Like, what to start it off with?
Hey, yeah. So, like, if you was to create like your own like march,
mm-hmm.
or something like, what would it be? It's like, well, what would that be about, and where? And where specifically would you have that march at?
I feel like it would be like a whole mixture of things.
Mm.
Like people coming together when it comes to police violence, to immigrant, you know, inequality and the just like workers, like inequality, everything, honestly. Because I feel like there's not just one thing that's going wrong in the US, like there's so many things when it comes to minorities.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like just having a kind of like a podium for everyone to talk.
Yeah.
And like share the experiences and like that they've gone through when it comes to like certain like issues that they faced.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone else faces. And then like just kind of start off from there and like, you know, have people just sharing their stories and then march. Yeah.
Hey, all right. So thank you so much for the interview. And I completely forgot what else I had to say after that. But I thank you so much for taking your time to what's interviewing me. I am very grateful and I'm very happy to hear all of your stories and whatnot. So I thank you so much and have a good day. So, all right. I don't know why.